All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be have in studio this morning Mr. Woody Lashin. Woody, great to see you. Great to have you in studio.
Good morning, Anthony.
Although I do take exception at the fact that you're beaming of taking my money back this past week.
Hey, that was my money coming back my way, my friend.
Oh, that's true. Well, you, Woody and I played in the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association outing at Rock Rim and Golf Club and the Country Club. What a beautiful course. What a beautiful event. It was a lot of fun.
It was a great event. It's a nice little golf course. A few lightning scares there.
We did. One
made
or two
it for a long round.
Yeah, it was quite the outing. But it was the one thing about golf and the fellowship that you get to have with people, with your friends, and that's really what it was all about. And so it was good to play with you. It was good to have spend the day with you. We don't get a chance to see each other that often. You're busy with your co-owner Pete's Golf Shop, so you have your fitting business, and you guys are. But when I do get to see you, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, I had a blast. It was a great day, and I'm glad we got to do it, and we're going to try and do it more often.
Well, we have a great show for you folks. Jean Bartholomew, an old friend of yours, Woody, she's going to be joining us in just a second, but we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio with me is the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, and on the line is LPGA professional Gene Bartholomew. Gene, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Anytime. I'm glad to be on. First time on.
Well,
we're happy to have you, Gene.
I know. It's about time you had me on the show.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
And it's on.
For those of you who don't know, Gene and I grew up together in Garden City. And so she's one of my closest friends. And
I played on the men's golf team or boys' golf team together.
You guys played on the boys' golf team together.
Yeah, Cheek was number one, by the way.
Not all the time. Yeah. I couldn't have hit it as far as Woody, though.
I don't think there are a lot of people that can hit it as far as Woody. Woody is a monster off the tee.
He's a legend in his own mind. That's about it.
Oh, come on, Woody.
Hey,
that's why I think I became a long hitter, because I played with you all the time and I didn't want a complex.
You know, it's funny you say that, because that's what Lexi Thompson says. You know, growing up with her brothers, you know, she's always playing with her brothers, and she kind of felt like that was one of the things that why she's such a big hitter. I mean, obviously she has a stature for it. She's a tall girl, but you know, she always plays with her brothers, and her brother, I think Michael Thompson, if I'm not mistaken, who's kind of bouncing around on the web.com tour. So a similar idea there. But I want to talk.
I agree.
I want to talk about growing up on Long Island, Gene. You were a multi-sport athlete. Can you talk a little bit about how you feel that, you know, juxtaposed against these kids today who are so elite? And I know we're talking about a different time, but how beneficial for what was it for you? You were a multi-sport athlete. You played softball, field hockey, golf, basketball, and you excelled at all these sports, if I might add, as an all-county and being on a championship team and various sports. How important was that for you? Physically, I would say, maybe in development as a golfer?
I think physically, You, as a better athlete, you're a better golfer. I mean, I think I was blessed with being a good athlete, which helped the golf. But I think your hand-eye coordination, your distance, your speed, all that is improved by playing other sports. Plus, you don't burn out. What I'm noticing with all these young kids is they're burnt out by the time they're 20, you know, because all they've done is play golf and travel around and play the AJGA. You know, the AJGA has become almost like a little professional tour. It's great. They have so much competition, but they don't do anything else. So you find a lot of players burning out very young, where for me, I only played golf, Woody knows this, we only played in the summer, and even in the summer we were doing other stuff like basketball camps and CYO leagues and softball leagues. So I think time management skills, you have to balance everything. Plus physically, I think you had an advantage, where some of these girls might have great golf swings, but when it comes down to skill in their hands, like I know Lexi, she might learn that as time goes on. She bombs it, but when it comes to short game, she has no touch. You know, she hasn't learned touch yet because I think you learn that playing other sports. That's my opinion, and I tell all the kids, you know, I do a lot of clinics, a lot of junior clinics, to keep, don't just give up the other sports. I think they're afraid they're going to miss out on something. They don't just play golf, like they're going to not get a scholarship or something. And I know it's different, but I encourage the kids to keep playing other sports, and I tell the parents to not pull them out of everything else too young.
I think
that's my opinion.
I think it's great advice, Gene. I really do. I mean, you know, growing up, I think that's what made you a great athlete. I mean, you still play hoops a little bit today, right? I mean,
I do. My gym has a basketball court, so I can't run up and down the court like I used to. I try, and then I pass out after 20 minutes. But
I think most of us would not be able to keep up with Gene, by the way.
Yeah, right. Getting old stinks, I'll tell you. But I try to keep up with the youngsters. I still hit it farther than them, so that's good. At least I can say that.
See, there you go. Not only older, wiser, but also longer still.
That's right.
Yep.
So, Gene, tell us a little about your development when you Gene went to Duke.
Yeah.
I believe All American, and then you turned pro and you went to Japan. Tell us a little bit about.
I turned pro. I went to Europe for a couple of seasons. Tried over there, played that Asian tour every winter, which was fun. You could go for 5 weeks in the winter, and they had a great 5-week Asian tour. So did that. A lot of the girls went over there and played that in the winter months when there was nothing else. And then I had the offer to go to Japan. I'm like, you know, do I want to play the Sumatra Tour, which used to be called the Futures Tour, which has really no money and just you'd be in your car driving around and playing for nothing. I mean, you could make the cut and not make a check. And I had this offer to go to Japan, which had great events and 36 events, you know, 3-day tournaments, great purses, you know, almost $1 million a week they were playing for back then. And so I decided to do it. I can't believe I did it in retrospect. And I was over there for 5 years. The only problem over there is it takes you a year to get your card, or you called it a license. You had to get your license to be a pro before you could get on the tour. So it was like a whole year of this wacky qualifying system, which was frustrating, but still I enjoyed it and it was a good experience. And then I came back and got my card here kind of late, so I went a different route, I would say, than most people, because the women don't have as many mini tours. You know, that's the thing. The guys have so many different mini tours to play, and even now there's not many places for women who aren't on the tour to play except for that Futures Tour. So I chose the international route, and I think I learned a couple of different languages and saw the world while I was learning to become a better golfer. You know, I don't think I was a really fine-tuned golfer when I graduated college. I was good, but my short game was terrible, and I had to learn, you know, to score better.
Yeah, it's
so
funny.
That's the story.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that's something that, you know, Peter Uihlein, Wally Uihlein's, you know, CEO of Titleist, he had the same choice, right? To go either to the web.com tour or to, you know, or to go to the European tour. And his agent and Chubby Chandler, who we know has been agent to the stars for Europe, and at least up until recently when he sort of lost Rory and all these guys, but still has Westwood and Darren Clark. And he had advised him to go to Europe and rather than staying in America. And, you know, how much of a learning experience in terms of forget about golf, but as a person, was it for you?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's different. It's harder in a sense. For as a golfer, it's the conditions. You're not playing, you know, the courses are pretty good. They're not as finely manicured. You're playing in Europe, you're playing cold and wind and rain and a lot worse conditions. I think it toughens you up. Then finding your way around in France, and, you know, my friend and I got lost. We were driving around in Holland for like a day because we couldn't find the highway. I mean, things like that. Like you don't speak the language.
So it sounds like Woody and I when we went to Connecticut. We were driving around.
We speak the language, had GPS.
We didn't have GPS, definitely. That's one thing would have been really nice to have in France when, you know, every road is a circle. And they weren't very friendly in giving directions. So, yeah, we were lost a lot. And, you know, it's more expensive. That's the only thing. The traveling is a lot more expensive over there. Luckily, my college teammate was from Switzerland, so we could kind of base ourselves out of her parents' house. So at least we had a base. But, you know, everything is double, you know, hotels and food and
right.
gas and things like that. But I'm glad I did it. I mean, it was definitely a fun experience, frustrating sometimes, but I think it was a good way to toughen yourself up, maybe.
Yeah, no.
See the world. I mean, the chance to see the world is really great.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, and that's, you look at colleges today, and every college has at some point a study abroad program, and that's exactly what it's for people to go.
This is a little harder than your traditional
right.
study abroad.
Yeah, a little harder, yes. But the concept of kids experiencing a foreign country, maybe not, you know.
Maybe not that hard.
Not that hard. They're not on that shoestring.
Trying to make a living. And,
it's fun, though. It's true. And you make friends like that you have for a lifetime, and you have stories.
Sure.
I mean, some of our stories, I run into some of the gals I used to play with, and we could just laugh for days because we just were such idiots. But it's true. We have great stories.
No, absolutely.
I'm gonna write a book.
Absolutely. Well, Gene, thank you for joining us. We're going to take a short break.
Anytime.
And when we come back, I want to ask you about...
Don't go anywhere, Gene.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your first experiences on the LPGA, and I know you had a special first caddy on the LPGA.
Uh-oh.
And we'll get to that in 1 minute.
Okay.
We'll be all back right. in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing, building, landscape firm serving Long Island for over 2 decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, and on the line is LPGA professional Jean Bartholomew. She teaches at PGA National and also the Fountains. Jean, thank you again for joining us this morning. And I wanted to ask you, you finally make it, you come back from Japan, and you get your card for the LPGA. And tell us a little bit about this first caddy of yours and what kind of a job that he did.
I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical here. Actually, I got to give Woody credit. I think I probably wouldn't have made the tour without Woody. And I don't tell him that enough, but he caddied. He got me through Q school twice. And he got me through that first time in 96. And I remember we were down at Daytona. It was like 120 degrees and humid, and the course was mush, and poor Woody had blisters on his feet. But I was playing okay, but I remember on the back nine, which was the front nine, I teed up the back, and Woody turns to me, he's like, "Gene, I think you got to step it up here. What did you say? I can't remember what you said, but it's time to make some birdies." and he clubbed me on a par three that I was like going to hit a five iron. He's like, no. He's like, no, here, hit the seven. And I hit the seven. It was water over the back of this tough par three, and I hit a seven iron to like 8 feet. And the pin was on the back ledge. I'm like, oh, God, imagine if I hit the five. I would have been in the gator behind the green, so in the water. So that saved me big time. I think I made that putt. And then I hold a second shot, a wedge. Right? Remember that?
Yes, I remember it.
For eagle on the next hole, and I ended up getting like seventh conditional card. So they only had like, back then, I think they only had about 14 full cards, and then everybody else was conditional. But when you were conditional back then, you actually got in. There were so many events. I played, 15, 16 events that year, and Woody caddied for me a bunch of times, and then I went back to Japan for a year. I didn't keep my card that first year. I was a freak, you know. I was just so caught up in, you know, being nervous that
sure.
I forgot to play. And then 98, Woody caddied for me again, and I got my card back, and then I stayed on straight through till full-time, till through 2007. So pretty long time out there.
What it was like out there, Gene. Like, you know, I mean, I think that the typical person thinks, oh, you're on tour, it's this glamorous thing, you must be, you know, living in five-star hotels. No, and
it's not glamorous, it's fun. I mean, and the tour is so different today, but back then, you know, we had more events, we weren't playing for as much money, but you could actually drive, which was fun. You could drive from, you'd go from region of the country to, you'd go to the West Coast, but you're out there for 3 or 4 weeks, and then we'd go to Florida, we had a few, and up to the Northeast. There's a bunch around New York, you know, close to home, which was nice, and my parents could come out. But it's definitely not glamorous, and I think people don't realize on the women's side, it's so far from the men's tour right now. You know, the endorsements are not there for the gals, and your costs have gone up a ton, but the purse have actually gone down, and there are fewer events to play in. I mean, they're doing better. They're getting some events back, but a lot of them are overseas, you know. And thinking what these girls are spending now to travel to tournaments, you have to fly everywhere, you know. But I wouldn't say glamour. It was great to be on the tour. I mean, just to say you're on the tour and play competitively for a living, but people don't realize how much it costs you to play. It costs a lot in expenses and caddy fees, and they kind of had Woody. But I would say the women's side, we don't get like the club endorsements and the ball endorsements and the things like that. I mean, you get equipment and stuff, but there's a few players that'll get paid to use something, but it's definitely not like the men's tour, especially now. The men are getting paid so much. I would say only about 10 or 15 gals really are getting really good endorsement money. So that's different. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I thought it was great. And I stayed in private housing, which was, instead of staying in hotels, you'd have host families. And, you know, I have friends for life, people I stayed with for 10 straight years, you know, at certain events that I keep in touch with. And did they visit me in Florida or wherever? And so I was lucky that way. I had great host families, and that made traveling a little easier than staying in a hotel all the time.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I think if you love the game, it doesn't matter. You know, if it's your passion, you're going to enjoy it no matter what. Get to see the world, get to play golf for a living, and meet great people, play great golf courses. But we were kind of spoiled, wouldn't you say, where we grew up?
Yeah. I know that watching you go and play over in Japan and play here, and it was definitely an awakening to see that Gene had to do to survive out there.
Yeah,
On top of all the hard work that you had to do to play your best golf, you had to manage all these other things. I think today young golfers don't realize that, and I think you're seeing it. You know, college player is a pretty good player, and all of a sudden they go out and tour and they can't do it. And part of it's because you have to learn how to manage your life.
I noticed that I went to the Solheim Cup this year. I'd never been. And I'm like, you know what? Lisa Lott is a really good friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time. And not that I was really rooting for Europe, but you could see how much more coddled the LPGA players were. I mean, they all have, like, they kind of have a posse, and they had tailors on site, and they're more worried about what they look like. I hate to say that, but it was kind of like they were too coddled going into it, and they got their butt kicked. Yeah. And I know people are saying that about the Ryder Cup, that the players are wimpy when it comes down to that competition, but kind of appeared that way to me, that they just didn't step it up, or they couldn't step it up when it counted, playing for your country. I know that's a lot of pressure, but it's almost, you know, I think in the Solheim or the Ryder, they can't have their posses around them as much, which they rely on, you know, their trainer and their mom and dad and their nutritionist or whatever. We didn't have that, you know, we just played golf and diddle. It's definitely different. That's a part of the tour that's different.
Yeah,
camaraderie's not the same. And the girls are so young, you know, they're 17, 18, 19 years old, so they have their parents, their agent, bodyguards. I'm like, come on, you bodyguard. I had Woody. I didn't need it. Definitely is different. It's a different time, but still got to get the ball in the hole, right, Woody?
Absolutely. It's all about how fewer shots you can get in that hole.
Woody, you wouldn't believe it. I put a 60 in my bag.
Really?
After all these years.
Gene has always played with a 56 degree and just opened it up. She has incredible hands.
Yeah.
And she is, you know, forever. And she, you know, just take the 56 and open it up and hit it sky high. You know, the old way we learned how to play.
Right.
As opposed to today where, you know, guys like me just take the 6 degree wedge and
I feel like an idiot, though. It is pretty easy to hit. But I was like, what am I going to take out of my bag? What am I going to take out?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I took the 3-hybrid out, so now I have a 2-hybrid.
Gene, Gene, hold on one more minute. We're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Yep.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is the co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, and on the line is LPGA professional Gene Bartholomew. Gene, what are you up to these days? Where are you at? Where are you teaching? And what's it like for you?
I am teaching I'm one of those hybrids. I teach fall, winter, spring in Florida. So I'm doing all my teaching and a little bit in the summer, but mostly fall, winter, spring. And I compete. I still try to compete in the summer. So I played in a couple of LPGA events. Monday qualified in Toledo. Tried this past week in Portland. Missed by one. Played really well. And I actually work with a couple of tour players now. I guess most people, I don't think I could teach all year round. It would be pretty tough to teach 12 months of the year. So I take my break in the summer and still try to tee it up. The teaching division has some tournaments, you know, some state opens. I was in the LPGA championship this year because by winning the teaching national championship, that got me in that. I did not play well at all. I had troubles with my back a little bit, but
it's kind of a big deal winning that national teaching championship, isn't it, Gene?
Yeah, it is. it's coming up next month, actually, in Atlanta at Chateau Elan. I've never played there. I heard it's a nice course. And when I turn 45, don't tell my mother I said my age on the air. I can qualify to play in that ladies senior tour, which it's called the Legends Tour. So I'm in one of those in September, and also a pro-am of theirs, which also has a purse, individual purse, up in Boston in September. So September is actually going to be pretty busy for me. But teaching and doing a lot of those Get Golf Ready programs, which are really fun, getting beginners to learn the game. Been doing a few of those this summer down in Florida when I'm not traveling. So trying to get beginners to learn the game the right way. And most of them come back after the five sessions and want to do more, you know, they get hooked. So I think it's a great program to get people who have never played golf to learn the game, the etiquette, the rules, how to drive a golf cart, you know, and you work some putting out and teach them in a way that, you know, to enjoy the game, not to make it so technical and complicated and make people miserable. So that's been fun doing those clinics.
Gene, there are a lot of different philosophies out there in terms of how to teach the golf swing. How would you characterize your philosophy, the one, and how you impart your knowledge on your students?
I would say I'm not a technical teacher at all. I stick to basics. Woody and I learned a lot from Ken Technik. Kenny, who teaches at Pete's in the Net when I was young, and a lot of it is about being an athlete, being free, letting the club do a lot of the work, but still using their body and trying to be athletic. But I do not teach everybody the same way because I think that doesn't work. I don't believe in method teaching. I guess I have a philosophy. In a sense, I would say I'm more of a let the club swing around your center. You know, a lot of people move all over the place. A lot of people never let the club release. If I've noticed, having taught now for 5 or 6 years, you know, they're just hanging on for dear life and kind of deflecting the ball. So it's definitely more of a let it fly mentality, but I stick to basics too. Good posture, you know, good grip, things like that, but not technical. Unless somebody wants it. There are people who love technical. They want knowledge, and they like physics, and they like angles and all that stuff. So you got to kind of be open to what the student wants, but not to the point where, you know, I won't let people get too technical.
Well, Gene, you tell you what, you keep up the not technical, because I think you really got something there. We can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us
guys.
This morning.
This was fun. I'll call in again.
Oh, well, absolutely. We'll have you on again.
We would love to have you anytime.
We'll see you next week. I'll be home in a few days. Excellent.
Maybe we can tee it up.
And just and rest in the knowledge that now Woody is now my bodyguard, so he's still working and protecting people. So
Woody has many jobs. I can't thank Woody enough. He's one of my best friends, and he's helped me with my equipment too. Everything, he knows me better than anybody. I always go to Pete's to get fit.
Absolutely. Well, Gene, thank you very much for coming on the program, and we look forward to having you again on in the future.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Gene.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. what a obviously a special person.
Oh, she's just a really one of my absolute best friends, and she was very complimentary. I think that's a little she's overdoing a little bit, but
no, come on,
she's just a great person.
Yeah,
she really is. If you're down in Florida and you want someone to help you with your game, she said she's not technical. She's not technical because she got it done being not technical.
Yeah.
And I think she can really help people because she lets you be an athlete.
Yep. Let you be, use what you bring to the table.
Exactly.
And I think that's that's important especially for the regular amateur who is, like she said, hanging on for dear life.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And that's what they do. You know, it's hard to, one phrase that she said was that struck me was be free. And it's hard to do in golf. It's hard to be free because we're so tied up in the outcome of where this ball's going because they don't know where the ball's going. And so they, like she said, they hang on for dear life. And that's not how you get it done.
You learn to enjoy it a lot more when you don't hang on for dear life.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for this week's show. I want to thank Woody for not only for coming on this week and co-hosting, but for arranging this meeting to have Gene on. Fantastic guest. And like Woody said, if you're down near PGA National or the Fountains, look up Gene Bartholomew. Real special person and a wonderful professional. So look her up if you have the opportunity. Thank you very much for the pleasure of your company again for this week. Look forward to having you join us again next week. Well, next week we should be live from National Golf Links of America, where we'll be at the Walker Cup. Make sure you get your tickets at usga.org for that. And enjoy your Labor Day weekend and enjoy your time out on the links. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.